This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right, P-O-D-D-Y.
I'm trying my very best with my very best Popsy presenter voice to introduce the girls, but I loathe it and I'm not speaking that. No, I love it. I love it. But just I just get my hives. I get anxious. And so this podcast is about me and my hives. And I'll let the girls
you
take
literally
it from
get me. Hives. Just if we say introduce us, Leslie, there's hives.
Yeah. And so sometimes I like want to like jump in and like say comment. But the moment I do, like 3 seconds in, I start losing my breath. Like I'm having a panic attack. I'm like, why was I
because thinking? You actually feel you come across and you sound very relaxed when I listen back.
If you listen closely, I'm like falling over my breath. But yes,
really?
Love you guys. Here's the party this week. Yay.
Go, Serene.
Pearl's
I know.
Staring look, at me. She's
that's
staring
because
at me,
I'm
like,
drumming my fingers. Serene has a, I'll just speak because I know you're going to speak a lot. Serene has a two-part podcast today. That's all I know. Part one today, part two next week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do not know subject matter.
She's saying that she's washing her hands of it like Pilate.
Yeah.
she knows I'm going a little bit rogue. I just want to say that I know that we have a vast audience out there with all kinds of different listeners. I love all of you completely and you're all our peeps. And I don't want you to think today because a lot of the information I'm gathering out of where I find my truth, which is the Bible, I'm going to be sharing a lot of that. And I want to know that I still respect you and love you. I don't want you to think that I'm forgetting about you and that I'm trying to do church with just the people that do the Bible along with me, right? I'm not doing that. It's just that I feel like there is a take-home point that those who don't read the Bible and don't adhere to that, you can still take the point home. It's a spiritual point I'm trying to drive home. I'm trying to drive home a point. I'm taking now the word of God, but you can take that point home and nestle it in your hearts regardless of whether you believe the Bible. I believe you can, I think this is a powerful point for our lives. And I just think you can just, you know, like turn the vacuum cleaner louder while I'm reading the scriptures if you want, but you still can take home a point. It's ancient wisdom regardless.
And didn't you say though next week, and well, I'm not trying to belittle the spiritual stuff because I'm all about that. I just always aware of our full audiences. People sometimes write into me and say, Pearl, let Serene say scriptures and I'm all about that. We always have to respect all members so we can bring spiritual and then we also bring the trim healthy.
Right. And I wanted to do that. Sorry, Pearl, were you wanting
to? No, I was just going to say you did tell me next week is, you know, for those who are not of our faith, next week is all about the trim healthy. It's the same point though, right?
Did you see how I said sorry, Pearl? I never listened to the parties back ever. I'm too busy. I've got a billion children. Pearl walked over yesterday and she's like, do you want to hear a party? I'm like, actually, no, I'm busy. I can't. And she's like, I really want you to hear a party. And so she played me a little bit. I know why she did it, because she wanted to hear me interrupting her the whole time and not letting her get word in edgewise. And so I said sorry to her just then, because I'm going to try and do better. I'm going to try and be a person who, you know, shuts up, listens. And, you know, I just also,
I did. I do it to you too. I mean, we have a natural sister
especially
banter.
If it's your party.
Yeah.
Or if it's
but
my
I did
party,
say
we
to you,
to
well, I listened to them back, and at first I did it a lot more. And the more I heard myself doing it, I'm like, oh no, I'll pull back a little bit in that area. So I just wanted to you.
I was disgusted yesterday at myself. I like wanted to throw up while I was listening, just because I'm like, such a like, shut your face, Serene, let the girl speak.
No.
So sorry, Pearl. I just wanted you to finish your sentence.
Oh, all I was saying was you told me that next week it's the same principle you're bringing today, but it's all about the for our eating.
I wanted to shove it together and do just a quick little scriptures first, because that's where I got the idea.
Right.
The whole idea came from my morning reading one day. And so I wanted to honor that and start there. And then I was going to go full into the food thing.
Hmm.
But I felt like it wasn't something I just wanted to brush over.
No.
And then I didn't want to like put the little food thing as just a cap off at the end. That deserved a whole potty itself. I have a whole potty. I'm not going to call it practical anymore because I believe beliefs and spiritual is more practical than anything, but I'm going to bring the very natural, like the food, like day to day.
The stuff you shove in your body.
Yeah, the stuff that you shove in your body. Yeah, I want to really, really milk that out too. So I'm just going to start. So I don't know how to say it anymore.
I love it. Sorry.
I'm going rogue from Pearl.
No, you're not. You have my blessing.
And I got my little teleprompter out, you know, because when I got this idea, I'm like, before I forget it, I'm going to write it out. write it down. That's what I find too, that I get all these ideas. And if I don't write them down, I'm thinking later, oh, what was that great idea I had? It's totally gone from me. So that's, it's not like I write it to say it on the potty. It's, I write it so
Serene,
I can.
What was so funny was the other, and sorry, I need to give you all the time, but I dropped this little thing the other day. Like, in, I put a post up on our Facebook group and I didn't say, oh, big announcement, you know, we're doing something different. I just said, and just like a side comment, oh yeah, Serene's going to be joining Facebook just because, you know, she's going into one particular group. We're not releasing it yet and all of that. And someone mentioned a comment. There was such kerfuffle about it. Like, Serene on Facebook? What? Hey, never send her a friend request. She's not going to even accept because she's only on there for one group. You did, Jeremiah. She hasn't accepted you.
I accepted.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I know. So, Jeremiah.
But anyway, but this is my joke. Someone said.
You speak, Pearl. You have the floor.
Someone said, this is funny. They said, I want to be with Serene when she's on her teleprompter. They were all amazed at your teleprompter and they wanted to see it in real life. And they were excited because they thought if you're there in this Facebook group with Serene, they're going to see your teleprompter, which is her iPad.
Yes. Back to the hilarious FaceTime, you know, even
Facebook.
At church.
It's called Facebook.
Facebook. Yeah, that's right. Even at church, like all like long lost cousins were coming up to me and saying, are you going to be on Facebook? Tell me it's not true. Tell me. And then our tech wonderful Jeremiah, who's going on this new adventure with us where I will be on Facebook. He was like setting it all up for me because I couldn't even do it, right?
No,
you And he didn't. Started accepting friends for me. I'm like, what are you doing? I only want to see Prof, Cousin Prof, which is the guy that's doing this with us, and Pearl's face because I'll feel freaked out like I really am on Facebook.
Yeah.
It was stressing me out, but I love you still, Jeremiah, for accepting 5,000 cousins. I'm just joking. Okay, so I want to start out by saying in this life, we have been ingrained by society, by culture, into limit and portion and measure. But what I was realizing the other day is I don't find those words much in the Bible, limit and portion. Like I know he is our portion, but that means fullness. But I mean like meager portion and measure. And there are times when these words need to be used, and I'm going to use them in the next party when we're talking about things we shove in our face, right? Okay. When it comes to obsessive physical behavior, we might need to bring in those words and we'll touch on those. But I have been so encouraged to realize lately that God is a God of satiety. Mm. And for those who aren't necessarily Bible believers, we have been created. We have been created. And I believe the one who created us ultimately for satiety.
To experience satiety? Is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes, to experience satiety. Okay. You're going to get it as we go along. Satiety, I believe, is what our creator, the one who's designed our bodies as a blueprint for our bodies, we work best when we're satiated.
Mm.
And the Greek word used in the words of Jesus in Matthew, which I've been into lately, my dad has like started memorizing the whole book of Matthew, starting, you know, at the Beatitudes, actually.
Are you past verse 20 yet?
I'm not, because I started memorizing Ephesians.
Okay, that's another story, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, in the words of Jesus and Matthew, his Sermon on the Mount, where he says, blessed is the man. He goes through the blessed is the man. He goes through all the list. That word in the Greek is makario, which means to be fully satisfied. And I never saw it that way before. I didn't know fully satisfied is the man, you know, who, and it goes all along. I love that. It changed that whole sermon for me. It opened it up. Yeah, because, you know, blessed is the peacemakers. Fully satisfied are the peacemakers. Mm. You know, fully satisfied are those who mourn. Fully satisfied are the meek. So it's a different way of seeing it. And so blessed. Like, what do you mean blessed?
Right.
You know, blessed is such a term now. It's a Christianese term, you know.
Bless you.
This term is used, this makarioi, is used to describe the joy that comes from salvation, full satisfaction. And I love how when I get in the word, I see that God doesn't love to skimp.
Mm.
He doesn't just want to give us the crumbs. He loves to satisfy. He loves to fully satiate. And this satisfaction is an ever-increasing state. And that's what I'm beginning to learn right now. I'm beginning to understand it is not static. Like a once satisfied and that's that. No, it's a continuous state. It's progressive. It's ever getting more full. attaining to his fullness. And interestingly enough, Makario cannot be translated ever as happy.
Mm.
Satisfaction and this blessed state is not the result of favorable circumstances in life. In the Bible, it is from the indwelling of Christ. So just think about all the rich and famous who are not satisfied. You know, they're not satisfied, sometimes dying of drug overdoses. And even though they have favorable circumstances and many, many opportunities for happiness, so-called happiness.
It's a not satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because blessedness, this deep satisfaction comes from within, not finding ourselves within, but emptying out ourselves and letting Christ really dwell, actually dwell with all his fullness within. And so I'm not trying to play church here. There's going to be a take-home point for people who you know, don't do that. And that was the way we were designed and to be satisfied and to thrive.
For sure.
And I'm going to share some scriptures. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I'm going to be to share some scriptures on this very real satisfaction. And the Lord will guide you continually. This is Isaiah 58:11. And satisfy your desire in scorched places.
Mm, so and that right there would be the circumstance where things aren't necessarily looking like they're flourishing.
Yes. And make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of waters whose waters do not fail. Satisfaction, like Pearl says, it can come in those scorched places. You can actually be watered in an arid place, in arid circumstances in your life. You can be watered, fully satisfied, fully blooming and flourishing in a scorched place. See, this is the mystery.
It is, right?
Of true satisfaction.
That's amazing. You know what? Because I've seen whenever... Do you mind me interjecting?
Would you please?
When I've gone on vacation sometimes and I've been on cruises, haven't been on cruises in a while because, you know, I'm not vexed up, but what was I allowed to say there?
You sure? On my potty you are, Pearl. On my rogue potty. This is the rogue day,
oh,
right?
Yeah, this is rogue day. That's all right. But I haven't been in a while, but I remember, you know, a cruise is where you should be most satisfied with all your senses. Absolutely to the brim. You have all the food you can eat, all the sights you can. Everything is done for you. Your bed is made. You don't do one thing. All day long, you are served, right?
And your towel is made to a rosette on your pillow.
You get it all. I have seen people, the most unsatisfied on cruises, but don't let me point my finger at other people, Serene. I've been on a 10-day, I think my longest is a 10-day cruise. Let me tell you, having all your senses satisfied doesn't satisfy your inner soul.
Yeah.
I actually got spoiled and a little bit naughty and nasty. Not at things that weren't going right. I just kind of, because everything was so hedonistic, you know, and I'm going to eat now and I do this. And I just sort of instead of yourself, your little flesh self can start to grow, you know. I remember one day just feeling just like unsatisfied with life, you know, and everything was kind of going wrong and just not quite right. And on a stinking cruise where every circumstance was perfect.
Where the crystal blue sea was lit up like diamonds from the sunshine.
But I look at that and it wasn't doing me any good anymore, you know.
Yeah.
That's how our souls can be.
So those who aren't really, you know, of the Bible type, I still think that you can think about the mystery of true satisfaction.
Yeah, that it doesn't come from a circumstance.
And get that point that even a scorched place in your life, this is wisdom that can go for anywhere.
Yeah.
In a scorched place in your life, you can still find true satisfaction.
You can be more satisfied than that person on the cruise being served.
Pearl, in your cockroach trailer home,
you were
a happy young lass.
Oh, I love it.
In fact, it took the burning down of your house to move because you're so loved
it's so
that
funny
ridiculous
that,
place.
That trailer home, but is now always the cockroach trailer home.
Right now, it's a beautiful, Pinterest house that our sister now owns, and it's
well,
been rebuilt.
The other one burned down, but that's so funny. It wasn't always cockroaches. Well, it kind of was, but
it kind of was. It's like my beautiful toaster. You know, we don't make like nothing anymore. You know,
You mean financially, you're fine, yeah.
We're fine financially, but we have a toaster. Everyone who walks in our house says, well, how do you use these things? I have two massive bricks next to my toaster and people are like, why are they there for? That's because you have to plonk a brick on each lever to make sure that the toaster stays down because the little flippy things don't work anymore. And then they don't, they don't flip up anymore either. So you're toast. You have to know when to take the bricks off or it will stay in and burn.
Yeah.
And then you have to lift the whole toaster up and tip it quickly upside down so it doesn't catch on the little side broken things and it flips right
but
onto your plate.
But you refuse to get a new one?
No, because I'm so satisfied with the yuck of it. Like I love the, I just love the charm and its own quirks.
It's so charming.
I just, every time I'm at Walmart, I'm like, should I get a new toaster? I'm like, can't betray that wonderful toaster. It's brought so much.
It did bring
quaintness.
You happiness.
Yes. Anyway,
I love that.
Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life and whoever has it rests satisfied.
Mm.
Psalm 103 verse 1 to 5, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And it goes on, but the line I want to say is down here, but who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Oh, I'm claiming that one.
Psalm 22:26. And I love this one. This is another one like the scorched places scripture. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied.
Mm.
Satisfaction can even come in times of affliction.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually, there's a book about that. I think he was Romanian. He was a missionary who got like put in prison. What was his name again? Oh, only because I had to remember that I've forgotten. Oh, but he was totally in prison and tortured for his faith. And he was freed after many, many years and went back to the cell.
Yeah.
To the cell that he was, it was an isolation dank
look it
cell.
Up while you're talking.
Oh, what was it called?
No, you keep talking. I'm going to look the name
Sam's
up on my,
all the books. My
on my trusty phone.
It.
Romanian missionary in prison.
Oh, yeah.
Was you he? Keep talking,
anyway,
please.
Anyway, he looks back when he went to that cell, he almost cried with nostalgia of the beautiful times that he spent so satisfied. Like
Richard Wurmbrand?
Richard Wurmbrand with the presence of the Lord. Like yeah. He remembers waltzing around the room. Like, with Christ, you know, like you just remember it, God was so present with him to be able to make it through that. He had full satisfaction even when none of his needs were being met. And in affliction, he was still satisfied to the point after years and years of when you moved back, started living in America and was living the very all senses satisfied life. When he went back, he wept thinking of the beauty of that time.
See, that's so amazing because, you know, I don't believe that God gives us sickness to, you know, to draw closer to him and all that. But all these things that we do go through, and it says, you know, you're going to go through trials.
Mm-hmm.
But when we press in to God, sometimes those things can either make us more bitter, more aloof, more mad at God, more mad at other people, or we press in further.
Yeah.
Because we're afflicted and we're like, oh, God, I need you now. And that's when the peace comes.
Yes.
Because we choose the peace more because we have more reason to.
Exactly.
And that's why those times can be the best times of our lives.
I remember times, you know, when for new peeps in the room, my son Arden, he was diagnosed with cancer 3 weeks after he got married.
Mm.
And it was aggressive at that time. And he is clear skin, totally. Mm-hmm. He's walking and healing.
Yes.
Right now. But it was times where... I had to rest in God's peace. I had to grab hold of the promises or I would die as a mom inside. Mm-hmm. Like I wouldn't be able to sleep. I wouldn't. But I just remember that time so fondly. I just remember dancing. I'd like take worship music outside, plug it into a Bluetooth and just dance around my field. Just dance. Like with joy like I had when I was a three-year-old chasing butterflies or something. And I've never really gotten that back. I've never done that since that time. I was so afflicted in my soul that I found a deeper place of peace than maybe I even know right now sitting at this seat.
You were so afflicted, you had to get so close into his peace.
Yeah.
And he gave it to you.
And he gave it.
Beautiful. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. This is Matthew 5:6. Blessed, fully satisfied, again, Macario, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Psalm 65:4. I'm not going to do a million of these. I don't want to go too rogue on Pearl. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. And in modern terms today, we shall be satisfied with his presence, because in his house, it was more like in the temple, but we are now the temple. And then, you know, God, we can be satisfied. It's an internal satisfaction. And it's not riches. It's not riches, but it's God that's satisfied. It's the goodness of his presence.
I think,
in our
life. Riches are so, they kind of make life easier sometimes, but I look at myself now, whereas Serene, you and I are fine. You know, we have been blessed. I mean, we're not multimillionaires. We're nothing like that, but we've been blessed. But I look back at when we're on food stamps, right? Maybe it was harder for my husband because he took a lot of the pressure on. But oh my goodness, I had just as much joy then.
Oh yeah,
in my life. Oh, yeah. We always think when we get that physical thing, or when that happens, or when we get that new house, it does nothing to the inner soul.
No, it does nothing. And also, when it's always out there, yet to obtain. When this happens, I will be.
Mm-hmm.
I will feel content. I'll feel sad. When that, then you're not choosing it now. And unless you press into it now, you're never going to have it, because it's a choice to be satisfied too.
Yes.
It's a choice. And even all the stuff I'm talking about God, he can lay it out all he wants for us. But if we're not going to choose it, then we're not going to have it.
So true.
And so definitely, it's really not something we're waiting for God to fully satisfy it. We're not over-spiritualizing it. We're actually, it's our move. He's done all the work.
He's given it.
Yeah. It's our move. I don't want to scripture everybody out too much. But like I said, next party is going to be none at all. But I wanted to just touch on what you said too, Pearl, about riches. 1 Timothy 6:17. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Because it's not our getting. Our getting never satisfied. You know, Micah 6:14, it says, you shall eat but not be satisfied, and there shall be hunger within you. You shall put away but not preserve. And what you preserve, I will give to the sword. Because we can't gather enough to be satisfied, because those senses, they're like an empty bucket with holes in it. And you can never fill the senses. You can never fill it. You can only be filled with Christ.
And I don't know if you're going there, but I'll add two things at the end
of
this
party. Please add it.
No, but you're probably going to go there. It's a whole different thing, but I was going to talk about the satisfaction in relationships.
Oh, yes. I'm not going to go there, so I want you to bring that there. Do you want to bring it? Okay, sure, whenever you want to.
Yeah, keep going.
Ezekiel 16:28-29. Now we're talking about the scriptures now on the subject of trying to satisfy ourselves and how it never will work. In Ezekiel, you know, it's quite, quite dramatic language in Ezekiel. You played the whore also with the Assyrians because you were not satisfied. Yes, you played the whore with them and still you were not satisfied.
You're doing the King James?
Yeah, I think it was. No, it's the ESV.
Oh, ESV.
English, yeah. What's the ESV?
The King James might have called it a harlot, and it would have been like more PG.
You multiplied your whoring also with the trading land of Chaldea.
She's just going for
and
it.
And even with this, you were not satisfied. Meaning you were trying to get. You were trying to get. Yeah. All you lusted after was things. And all you're getting of things, you were never satisfied. Again in Ezekiel, and I'm not going to go on too much, but they cast their silver into the streets, and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them. They cannot satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it was the stumbling block of their iniquity. Sorry, Pearl King James.
That's all right.
Iniquity, sorry. Pearl's like, you're playing
I love shirt. King James, actually, for myself.
Yeah.
I do love a good King James.
And I'm going to... Ecclesiastes 1:18, all things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So basically, if we try to satisfy the senses, and so even if you're not...
You'll be in a bad mood on a cruise.
Even those who don't go to church, if this is science.
Yeah.
You know, it's just regular now science. If you try and satisfy the flesh, what we call the flesh in church.
Yeah.
Okay. Satisfy the senses. You cannot. You have to find it deeper.
Yeah.
You have to find it so that you can even find it in scorched places.
Yeah.
You have to find a kind of satisfaction where you can even find it when you're afflicted. because satisfaction does not even bridge anything to happiness.
Yeah.
So it has so much deeper roots than happiness. And I'm just skipping a bunch of verses. And actually, I swiped out 20 of them.
Already? Before you came to this party? Yeah. But you still left 100.
My teleprompter for my own self, my own soul, had a bunch more. Yeah. And now Psalm 63, I love this one, verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips, because this is where we've found our real satisfaction. Psalm 90, 14, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. I'm going to miss them all. I'm going to just skip past, because I feel like my inner sense is saying respect. So I'm going to move on. But we have to sense that we're hungry inside, though, for the spiritual hunger. You know, we have to know. I think a lot of people just try and busy their lives so much with the senses, you know, like what's another movie that I can watch? Yeah. Or what? I'll have to go shopping. I'm feeling a little bit empty. Well, I'll go shopping. Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling a little bit lonely. So I'll go to a movie with friends, but they fill with the senses so that they can blunt the realization that they have such a deep hunger inside of themselves for things that truly satisfy. Yeah. And I think that people, you have to slow down to really understand how hungry we all are. And I love Luke 6:21. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Anyway, I want to say that just going a little bit to the spiritual side, satisfaction, what I'm starting to understand now, comes from the whole table of God. And this is, we're going to flip this over too when we do the food potty on satisfaction, about all of the macronutrients and not leaving anything out. But there's a spiritual application to that, that it comes from the whole table of God, all the macronutrients of his word, all the food groups of the Bible, basically.
Right.
We don't just feast on his love and mercy. Sorry, guys, I'm just going church right here, if that's okay. I just got to. Even though that's so scrumptious and it is nourishing, but we also feast on his holiness and in his majesty.
Yeah.
We chew vigorously on his righteousness. We don't just put his promises as a garnish. Like, we don't really need to eat those today. We just put them on the side. They look pretty there though, right? So we'll keep it like a little rosette on the side of our plate. No, we eat heartily and we digest them completely with faith. We don't skip out on his prerequisites for them either, or his commandments. No, we eat heartily of obedience. We ignore to the very bone of his joy and peace, and we make them ours. We draw out, like we milk out, even the Bible says those words, we milk out. I have a dog right now that just gave birth to puppies. Oh, I didn't know I love puppies so much. I think because I don't have babies.
Yeah.
I have beautiful grandbabies, but they're not every day at my house. But I have puppies. I never loved puppies.
You never did?
Puppies. Well, I was always nursing babies, and they're so much cuter because they're, to me, because they were mine.
Are you going to become a dog lover?
Oh, I was just holding their little paws and putting them over their eyes and putting them in all different cute positions.
Yeah, I can't imagine you doing this.
I love puppies. It's all my maternalness now.
Right.
Like,
it has to go to a puppy.
Because my youngest now is running around the field, you know, like doing
a
full
four. She's
full
not
day
a baby.
Playing.
She's not a baby.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. But I love this picture because when they nurse, they're so aggressive.
They are.
I remember my babies being aggressive. I remember your children being aggressive. Bowen.
We called them barracudas. Yeah.
He would like nurse off you, especially Bowen. Sorry, Bowen. His wife listens sometimes. And he would nurse around the clock. Like he would crawl. He'd put his legs would end up in the air because he was so wanting to get the milk.
Yeah.
He just kind of ran around in a circle while he drank. But these puppies were like ignoring and almost kneading.
They were really wanting
to
get satisfied.
They were kneading at the tit.
Yeah, kneading at the tit. You got tit and whore today. So children, beware. Serene's saying them in the nicest way.
Let's go to church and talk about tit and whore.
Oh, boy.
Oh, but you know, I love this picture is in Jeremiah, Isaiah in the Bible.
Like, what?
You know, not the picture of tit and whore, but in Isaiah, it talks about us being like a nursing babe as we draw from the milk of God, you know? Mm. It says in Isaiah 66 that you may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of her consolation. That, and if my mom was talking, she'd say,
breasts. Mom loves to say
of her consolation. That you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall she suck, He shall be borne upon his sides and be dandled upon her knees as one whom her mother comforteth. So will I comfort you. And it's that beautiful picture of that sucking out. But we have to, like I said before, we were talking Pearl, that it can all be laid out. The table is laid out there for us. But
the table of satisfaction.
Yeah, but we can choose to not draw it out, to not really get aggressive and
not be
suck,
a good puppy.
And just let a little bit of milk come to our lips and not flourish.
Yeah.
You know?
I get that with that.
We can't just stare at the fullness or just stare at the breast. You know, we have to be like the pouring puppy.
Yeah.
And you know, that really was all that I really wanted to say on this side of things. Because I just for me, it really struck home, Serene. Happiness is not satisfaction. Happiness is like a falling house of cards.
Yeah.
You know, just anything not going right. like you didn't get to have your Starbucks you wanted to because it was closed when you drove through the drive-thru or something stupid. No, satisfaction is something way deeper and we all are born to need it.
Or it could be not so something so trite as we didn't get our Starbucks. It could be, you know, we didn't get that job or our husband didn't or that, you know, didn't. We were waiting. We wanted that house and we couldn't get that and we couldn't get that loan. Or these are things that can really throw us. Or, and I want to bring it to relationships now because this really kind of spoke to me. Satisfaction in relationships, if you're married because you made that choice, is a choice every day too, to be satisfied. Because we can get into a place in our heads, and I'm only speaking this because I can get there, where we're not satisfied because of our expectations of what, you know, what our partner's, he's not meeting all my needs today. He's really not. I'm not satisfied. I deserve that. You know, I deserve for him to come and do dishes, or I deserve for him to really take time for me and spend those times talking and forgetting of the choice to be satisfied. And it's all a mindset. It's all a switch. And I'm not talking about if you're really in a dangerous marriage. I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about if you're married to a genuine human person that's not bashing you, okay? I'm talking about a good person that might be just not meeting on your needs. And, you know, you're just looking at all the issues and the problems. I mean, I've been there
and done
that.
And we're talking about, and I'm not going to interrupt you. I want you to go on this.
Please do. But set me straight.
No, I'm just saying, when you're talking about good person, you're talking about a person, like you said, that's not bashing you, that's not out, you know, in the bars every night doing adultery. But it's so easy, as a human to think somebody is not good in 1 second and the next second to be able to convince yourself they're good. So we're talking about morally, like big issues, because your lens can you can think, oh, my husband's not that good anymore, you know.
You really can't.
The word good is,
but it's all about choosing to be satisfied or not, you know. And my husband is an awesome man, but I can still choose to be satisfied with who we are and what we're not, or I can choose to be unsatisfied, and then I will be miserable. And that leads, I believe, choosing to be unsatisfied leads to more divorce than anything else.
And remember that place. We can still be satisfied in our marriage, even in scorched marriages.
Yeah, scorched.
Even in afflicted marriages where we've got a lot to forgive and we have things to get over, we can still find blessedness, a deep satisfaction.
And I guess we all need to come to that place too. And it's not just married relationships. In many relationships where we choose to not be that never can be satisfied bucket where someone will always hurt us no matter what, you know, like you know, it's hard to be in a friendship or a relationship with someone that you're kind of always doing wrong to. I mean, but you don't know you are.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we have to learn to be better friends and better spouses and things like that. But, and I'm cautioning myself, we don't want to be the person that is just continually hurt and triggered and triggered, and you can never, never do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you try, someone tries to do the right thing for us, but we see other alternatives and what they're doing and saying then. Hey, you're listening to The Party with Serene and Pearl, and I'm Pearl, and who are you?
Serene. This is The Party with Serene
and Pearl.
Get it right. It's P-O-D-D-Y. So for those who aren't, you know, we said those beautiful scriptures for those who, you know, are of the Bible faith. But those who aren't, it's as simple as a choice for you. It's a choice of having satisfaction and contentedness, because it's all our view. Like, I have been in an argument before with somebody, actually my husband before, and just through the lens of how I decided to see it,
yeah,
I was absolutely miserable and thought the whole world was coming down, you know, and that it was just, and then choosing to change my lens and see it from a different angle, I thought he was the best things that God ever made.
It is.
And nothing changed. None of the reality changed. It was just my lens.
I've been there exactly the same way. And it's amazing when you decide, okay, no, I was in error. I choose to see the value and I choose to be satisfied mm-hmm. with this person, warts and all, you know, because I've got my own issues, obviously. What peace? It's incredible. Mm-hmm. I mean, the misery goes away.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, there is this choice. God has set a table before us mm-hmm. of like what you're saying, Serena, of there.
And his
grace.
But
we can choose it. Yes, but we can choose it in all these yes. aspects of our life, all of them.
Oh, so incredibly.
Like, you know, we don't want to be that person that can never be filled up. Like,
and even with our children too, you know, satisfied with where they are too in yeah. their journey of life. Instead of just being critical.
Yeah.
I feel like it can be, if we have this lens of that is just not so willing to be offended at everything they do that's not absolutely adult-like,
yeah.
you know, we can choose to be a lot more satisfied with them. And even and I feel like that's bringing me more peace as a mother, where I'm just choosing satisfaction. And of course, as a believer, that's ridiculous. I cleared that up last potty. We're all believers, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But as somebody who believes in the Bible, I feel like truth is that his power works in within yeah. us to be able to be satisfied.
Yes.
Very hard for us with when we're governed by our senses and not by his power. It's always hard to put that into action, but we can still try.
The principle remains.
The principle remains.
Yeah.
The principle remains. And
that's good, Serena.
I loved what you shared though, bringing it into marriage. That was a part that
it was
left
just
out.
Being real in my life. I mean, I've been 28 years married and I still find myself on some days like that cruise.
Yeah.
Where I haven't been done wrong to. There might be a few things that, you know, I don't know, I could decide to be offended about, certainly. But if that becomes my lens and I choose not to be satisfied, oh, It's like being on a cruise and everything's done for you. There's so much wonder, but you're just miserable. And in a marriage, there's so much love. My husband pours out his love for me, but I choose to see that little thing.
Right. To see, like, you've got this beautiful cherry, the sweetness, the glory of the depth, the richer the color and the pop of the tartness. Everything's there perfectly balanced. You're just staring at the pip. You're just miserable because of the pip and your lens is just staring at the pip. It's like... When I grew up, I used to have nosorexia. Or I had anorexia too. I seemed to have a lot of orexias when I grew up. But I had nosorexia. It's a term I made up. Maybe it's a true term. I don't know. But maybe there were other sufferers out there. But I used to stare at my nose. Every time I looked in the mirror, I wouldn't look at my face as a whole. I just looked at my nose. And I got this complex that my nose was humongous because Pearl has this beautiful little more of a defined nose. Mine's more Scottish in a honker. And so I looked every time at my nose. My nose got huger every time I looked in the mirror.
Yes.
It was like Pinocchio.
Right.
Because I was lying to myself because I didn't look at it in the truth of the whole.
Yeah.
I just looked at the lie that it was humongous by itself. And it just, I'm telling you, whatever you focus on becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
My lens was only on my nose.
Yeah.
And I got an issue. I really did. But, you know, if the lens is only on the pit, is the lens is the fact that you know, every time he bends down, that his shirt comes untucked and you see the crack. I'm just joking. But I'm just saying, I'm just trying to use that because there might be serious issues I don't want to use. But you know, if you're only looking at the fact that, you know, he doesn't share the same hobbies as you or something like that. If you're only like, oh.
Actually, that was what I'll be truthful. That should I explain
please,
the whole
would
thing?
You?
I'll just, rather than skirting around it. And everything always happens to my husband and I on vacations. I shared another vacation story where I
remember that.
Jokingly said we almost got divorced. Remember that? Because he was eating all the junk food. This one was about, I discovered, we went to Arizona, and I discovered I love aggressive hiking where it's very challenging. We climbed Camelback Mountain, which is quite challenging. They say it's hard. And I thought, yeah, I'm pretty fit. No, it was hard, but we made it. It was great. But, you know, you go there and I was with other family members, my daughter, her son-in-law, my other daughter, and we were all having a great time and we were like wanted to hike. And my husband, you know, he's 66. He hates hiking.
Well, he's also he's a little ill right now.
Well, he had a little thing. He's getting over it, actually. Right.
But at the time, he was feeling
a little ill. He was kind of feeling a little poorly, but that's beside the point, Serene. He hates hiking. Okay. That's not cotton candy it. Okay. He hates hiking. Loves other things. But I thought to myself, we're married, right? Couldn't he learn to love it for me? Am I not worth it? I don't feel loved because he doesn't love hiking. So I'd say, honey, just come with me, experience it with me. At least come halfway. At least could you come quarter way? Quarter, would you do it for me? Don't you love me? And he put his little foot down because he felt like I was trying to force him.
It always happens on vacations.
Him. Yeah. Change him. Anyway, so I went on the hike myself. I went on three hikes myself.
I bet you had extra energy.
I did. I did. I could hike the mountain like I was the fiercest hiker in the world because I had
You were empowered by my,
oh my goodness, he. This is so ridiculous. He could at least walk quarter of the way with me.
Yeah. Look how great I am.
Yes. And then I thought to my little thoughts, and not that I would move on them, but imagine if I let them nest. Well, maybe we're really not suited to one another. I'm actually a hiker. I should join a hiking group with others that suit me. I was made to hike.
You weren't
Look
thinking
at this man.
Of the D word, but you were
no,
just thinking about
No, but I was thinking, well, I'm,
the
and
fact.
Then I'm going to leave him in the dust. Maybe I'm going to be an amazing hiker and climb Mount Everest. And then when I got there, you know, he was sitting there on the thing, hasn't moved. He was sitting there doing his crossword puzzles. And I thought, how pathetic. You do crossword puzzles. I hike. And I was in pride. And I was just looking down like, oh, and it lasted. I mean, we got along pretty well. We had a good time. But I'm just saying this lack of value in my eye, in my lens, destroyed part of my vacation. I had a beautiful time with my children, but I know that he could tell he was less valued because he wasn't a hiker.
You weren't looking at all the things that he was.
Oh, he's so amazing. He's so many things. He's a little stubborn. I told him that. And he was, I mean, but aren't we all have certain things, you know? And you know what? When you looked at it, he probably could have walked ways
but
just to be with me.
Men hate to be forced to be changed so that you can love them. Just
I know. But you know, a counselor might say, well, Charlie, you could have walked that way with her, right? But I can only control myself. I can't control him. I can't put things into him. So when I got home and it was 2 days more of me not valuing him because he wasn't a hiker, I decided enough. And I actually talked to Serena about it. I said, what do I do here? You know, and we talked about it and I reminded myself of all the beautiful, amazing, valuable qualities he is. And I said, no more.
This is the man who, when we were in Mexico and we were all sitting around in couples, there was a saxophone player and he was an incredible saxophone player. Charlie Barrett picked Pearl's hand and said, come dance with me in front of all these strangers that were just, it wasn't a dance floor.
No.
It was just a normal restaurant when you eat. You weren't meant to dance there.
No.
But he didn't care about what fool he was to just like caroon her around, you know, at all the tables because he was so moved at his love for her when the saxophone player was playing.
No, he does love
and
me.
And so that was the man he is.
He's
he
many things. Him. But he's not a hiker. And so, you know, one thing that he wasn't a hiker made me look at all the bad things, all the things that I didn't think were up to standard.
I almost didn't marry my man. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
No, because he's so amazing. There's so many things about him. And I'm so glad I married him because he's more than ever. But I had a list because I love to sing.
Yeah.
I said, the man I marry has to be a piano player. And we'll have to have a baby grand. And I imagine me leaning against the baby grand in the silk nightdress.
Yes.
As he tinkled the ivories into all hours in the morning, you know, and we bluesed on like that in love. He had to be like me so I could love him, right?
Yeah.
But Sam doesn't even know how to play the spoons in time or sing in tune. And so, but he's so much better because he's got so many other things. So isn't it interesting how...
It is interesting. And once I changed my lens, because I could see that it was a stupid path that I was following my brain, but boy, my brain was getting practiced at it, Serene. My brain, because when it started, was getting better and more adept thoughts at lack of value towards my great husband, like with every hour. Yeah. It was just like exploding.
Yeah.
And then I talked to you about it and I said, am I off here? You know, am I off? Because maybe I'm off. And you explained to me that, yes, Pearl, you are. It was such a relief to know I was off. And then I could put back that lens of value. And since then I have, you know, I mean, 28 years, you know, you have your times, you have your moments. We all have to work things through things, but I think it only goes deeper. I'm so glad I had that week because now I look at it like I've come through and it's even a deeper place and I value him more because I lost the value for a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry for that. You know, I even told him I'm sorry. But it's a beautiful thing when you regain value and you look at it and the value's even larger because it's more precious.
I remember calling you saying, oh, Pearl, I remember another thing that looking on, I value about Charlie. It's just another one of his values. You're like, oh, Serene, stop. I have so many values of him. I can hardly keep them all in my head. he's got so much value. It's bursting out of my head. I don't need any more.
Yeah, that was right. Yeah. So it's amazing, you know, to choose to be fully satisfied. And no one and circumstances don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be hiking hand in hand up in a mountain.
No, and in fact, when we're opposites,
yeah,
and we learn to love in that scorched place,
yeah,
it's true satisfaction in our love. It's true love, because when it's only about happiness, him being a hiker with you created happiness,
right?
Happiness is a fragile nothing.
Fragile. Anyway, that's good. Thanks, Serene. I love this.
No, thanks, Pearl. Jim, nothing, mama, mama.